It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
You made me download Zoom, my first app on my phone.
Consequence Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making your way here, checking out the episode and the series. Please do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out. Three new interviews every single week, new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it makes it a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover the new ones. You can do so at Spotify, Apple Podcast, at NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Some of my recent guests have included Chris Shiflett from the Foo Fighters, Liz Phair, Sarah Silverman, Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses, Felicia Day, the filmmakers behind Lessons in Chemistry, starring Brie Larson on Apple TV+. We had Susan Tedeschi, Josh Radner from Fleischman is in Trouble and How I Met Your Mother, Kristen Hirsch of The Throwing Muses, The Breeders, Baroness, Corey Taylor of Slipknot, Michael C. Hall from Dexter and 6 Feet Under, Andy Taylor from Duran Duran, Tommy Stinson from The Replacements. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Brandon Flowers of The Killers. So excited to have him back on. We're going to be talking about the band's upcoming Best Of collection. And Brandon's going to tell us how their newest single, Your Side of Town, is really a nod to the music of his teenage years. And we'll go on to dish on the vaults of unreleased songs the band have accumulated over the years, as well as how they chose which tracks would make the new compilation. Brandon's also going to discuss what attracts him to writing about the type of characters that populated one of the most recent records, Pressure Machine, the role of religion in his lyrics, and how he's working on a record that might end up being a new solo album. We're also going to hear how his musical North Stars have changed, and recently talking with Eddie Vedder about Kenny Rogers. In fact, that conversation they had is actually about a 20-year journey. You'll hear all about that and much more. It's Kyle Meredith with Brandon Flowers of The Killers.
All right.
We'll start with the new song, Your Side of Town. First off, I've told you before, it was, we got to see you backstage at Bourbon and Beyond with my family. By the way, thank you for being so nice. You made my son's year that night. And it was great talking to you, but especially hearing these songs live and everything. This new single is so good. So first off, I just want to throw that congratulations because you did it again.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, so it's kind of a nod to a lot of the music that influenced me as a teenager. And I didn't really expect it to rear its head again, but it did. And I feel like that we executed it in a way that we can be proud of. And it's a strong song.
Why didn't you expect it to rear its head again?
We hadn't made music like that. Maybe, I guess, since Day and Age. And it feels more like that era of the band. And we did though work with Stuart Price who did do Day and Age, so that makes sense.
Well, the lyrics, I wrote down, hopefully I got them right, the streets are dripping with decisions of a quiet kind, hallucinations on the shoulder of the borderline. Like, your poet, you haven't lost that knack, by the way. Those lines are really, really good, and maybe even more surprising because of what you're talking about, it being sort of this poppier song. Like, this still feels like where you were coming from on Pressure Machine, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it's applying some of the things that I've learned over the years to this style is maybe making it feel a little bit fresh. I think that's so that's a good thing. But yeah, I mean, I can't. I try not to dumb it down. I'm trying, man. I'm trying over here.
Well, that's. I hope no one expects that from you, to dumb it down. And I mean, I get the idea of like big pop songs, right? Big pop songs are supposed to be universal.
Yeah,
I say supposed to be universal. I know that's a school of thought. My favorite songs are the ones that tend to be so specific. Like, I didn't live that moment. I love knowing that.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's yeah. Or they make you feel like you were there.
Right, right. It's almost like the inside joke in a way. Yeah,
that's yeah.
But is that, do I read it right? So, you know, talking about the, you know, where it comes from and all that, like, I guess some of the backstory is this, if this is right, like, this song was part of another group of songs that you sort of like is semi-abandoned.
Correct. There, you know, the label and we agree is an appropriate time to put out a best of, and we're going to put out a best of, and it's 20 songs for 20 years, and it was going to conflict with this EP. And so I think it just made sense because we're still going to get a few songs that were going to go on the EP onto this release that's coming. And there'll be no, you know, no tug of war between these two releases. And it just made sense.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was going to be part of it. Like, just knowing, like, so many artists do that, you know, so many artists will go in and you work on a record, and for whatever reason, you say this ain't it. And sometimes you're Neil Young or Prince and you just shelve a bunch of records. And sometimes you just kind of stop and move on to something else. But of course, when you're a fan and you hear something about it, you're like, oh, what's going to happen with those songs? You know, how many of those songs kind of made it all the way through?
And we have so many songs that kind of fall by the wayside and that are almost finished or over the years that we try not to get too precious about them. So there may be a couple you don't hear, but I wouldn't lose any sleep over it.
is the vault deep for you guys?
Yeah. Oh, there's so much. Yeah. There's so much stuff. And I'm sure if we went through it, we might kick ourselves over two or three of them that we didn't quite finish or that maybe should have gone on a record. But overall, I think we're really pretty consistent about choosing the right songs for the records.
Now, so for the other side, for a greatest hits package, there's a few of those happening this year. And I've talked to some of those artists too. And sometimes it's, you know, we hand it over to the management and they just pick the biggest of the hits and that's it. Like, how involved are you with the track listing? And like, is, if you're very involved, were you looking for certain standards for each song, I guess?
Sure. Yeah. You look at things like we did do a best of about 10 years ago. And so we took that into consideration. We wanted to put, you know, to make sure that we've got a couple of songs on there from our COVID records, so that they could get a light shine on them that maybe wasn't. and so those records for us were Imploding the Mirage and Pressure Machine, which some of our strongest writing. And so there's going to be five or six, I think, from those two albums on there. And then these new songs. There's a song that I don't believe was on our first best of called Be Still. That has, it's sort of a dark horse of a killer song. And it's just resonated with so many people over the years. And it's even grown, you know, in my heart over the years. And so it was like, we thought we should put that on there. And we didn't put Jenny Was a Friend of Mine on the, you know, there's like, we got to play around a little bit.
And we'll be right back right after this. Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples. I live in Kentucky, in the Midwest, and allergies, yeah, I suffer. When I say I suffer from allergies, I suffer from allergies. And around here, everyone I know deals with allergies to some degree. And for a long time, I thought it was just something that I would have to live with, which is a real problem for anything, but especially when you're a radio host. It affects my voice, it affects my mood, it affects everything. And I feel like I've tried all the medicines. Some of them work better than others, but there's never a perfect one out there, especially because some of them take forever to actually work and some of them don't work at all. And then there's Astepro, the fastest solution to nasal allergy symptoms. It's what I use now, and it's definitely changed my life. Astepro is the first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astepro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astepro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. With all the pollen in the air, with all the dust around the corners of the house, even with the allergies I have from my dog, Astepro has been the nasal spray that has helped me with all of my allergies. And it can help you too. Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astepro. Go to AstaproAllergy.com for a discount so you can Astepro and go today. Astepro Allergy.com. That's Astepro Allergy.com. Astepro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Brandon Flowers. Like, the relationship you can have with a song is so interesting to me. When, for any artist who's been around for, you know, decades, like, you have the hits and then you have a record like Sawdust, which is one of my favorites in your discography. You know, like, and I don't, there's something about that. Like, I'm a big fan of sophomore albums. I'm a big fan of B-sides. For whatever reason that is, it's sort of the back against the wall stuff. You know, like Nirvana's right. Incesticide, like that's my favorite Nirvana record.
Yeah.
You know,
it is tough to when you're going in to make that second record or when you do make a B-sides record. Yeah, there was a Smiths had a B-side record that was my favorite for a long time of theirs. It's nice to sort of join that tradition. And we're so proud of our second record. You know, like you said, you know, it's the famous saying is that you have your whole life to make your first record, then you have a few months to make your second one. And when I look back at what we did with Sam's Town, I'm just really proud of us. And this is a nice way to sort of get all of that and get everything in between out there.
Well, I mean, you've got so many freaking great songs. I don't know how you've done it, but especially knowing that, as you said, you're shining the light on the two most recent records with Imploding the Mirage and Pressure Machine. You and I got to talk a little bit about that night when you were here in Louisville. And I love the style of writing in that, especially Pressure Machine. I love that these story songs, and you've always, like, these characters I feel like have always sort of been around your music, especially as we talk about Sam's Town. I mean, I heard it a lot in that record, but that I know this was a bit different, especially being a concept album. What attracts you to these type of stories and, you know, with your experiences with these people?
Yeah, I think I've always wanted to write narratives, and it's so difficult to get it into a 3-minute pop song or 4 minutes even, you know, but you can't, when it's done well, you can fit a life in there and you can fit so much experience in there. And I think I didn't quite realize that was something that I was going to gravitate towards when we first started the band. And sometimes a typical killer song doesn't allow for that. So it was really a breath of fresh air for us to really do a 180 and make a different record like Pressure Machine, where I was able to spread my wings and have three verses and four, you know, I think maybe one of them has four verses. You know, this is stuff that you don't typically hear on a structured pop song, and it allowed for these characters and these these observations I've been making my whole life to come through, and I didn't quite realize, but I think they were just, you know, bursting to get out.
Do you find that you're in the songs? Like, so many of these are character driven. Where are you in this, in these stories?
I say I'm always lurking. I want to, and sometimes it might be a topic, or especially on a song like Terrible Thing, that I'm trying to understand someone's experience, and always, every time, by the time I get to the other end of the song, I have more empathy, and I'm more sympathetic to people's experiences. And so that's been a powerful part of songwriting for me.
Like, I come from a very small town in Kentucky. And maybe that's why I resonated so much with that album, specifically with Pressure Machine, because, you know, you're talking about, you know, an opioid crisis, and I definitely, you know, there's meth and everything else in every rural town anywhere in America these days. So, but I kept coming to this moment where there's a line you says, "We keep waiting for the miracle." And I thought, you know, so many of the people I know from my little town crutch so much on religion. I know you're a man of faith too. Crutch so much on religion in this way that doesn't make sense. It never seems to lock up with the lifestyle they end up leading. And yeah. I guess I heard that in that record, and I hear that in a lot of your writing, and maybe that just comes natural to you. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's a small inkling. You're picking up on it, and I don't know how much I want to get into it, but yeah, it's like, I think they have these things that are people, we're you know, in these whatever town you're in, or whatever, wherever you live, if you've been brought up on these doctrines, or they're usually, if you could follow them, I think your life will be better. And it's not about sitting around and looking for something. It's usually about doing something and putting in a little bit of work. But yeah, you picked up on that.
Well, and that just, again, compliments on the stories that you're telling and the way you're telling them. And I go back, like, I've even started rethinking of songs like Spaceman in those contexts, you know, or something like that. Like, it's been really fun thinking about the greatest hits and sort of going back and not just singing along to them in the way that I have, you know, these past years and everything. Further on, I mean, sure, greatest hits and the songs that will come along with that. Like, do you think the concept album is stuff? Like, are you going to try more of that?
Oh, maybe. I mean, I'm always working on something. But I mean, it could end up being a solo record. But it's definitely occupying that same region of Pressure Machine for sure.
I'm guessing so. Do you think your musical North Stars have changed?
Oh yeah. So much. I mean, I could never have seen, you know, the road that I ended up taking. I did not see that coming. Everybody has this moment when you're 13 and you fall in love with music, and you find, you know, you find your people, and you find your style, and then you become an adult, and you maybe you cling on to some of that, and you just become an adult. And I had this strange second musical awakening in my mid-20s, and I see it as, you know, I see it as just a huge blessing in my life, because the thing, you know, the people that I idolized, there was always a little bit of this darkness. And, you know, there's always debauchery and hedonism tied to it, to a lot of it, you know, and that is so far from who I am. And I saw this other path start to clear, and it was, you know, these voices that sounded familiar to me, even though I couldn't believe that I was starting to love it, Tom Petty and Bruce Springsteen and stuff like that. And it just, it took me, you know, by surprise. It swept the rug under my feet, but I'm so grateful for it now. And it's allowed me to tell stories and be more true to myself.
Well, you know, and I see you up on stage with Vedder, you know, I think it was this past week and everything, and knowing his story, like it feels like there's some kindred spirits going on right there with a lot of that too.
Yeah, for sure. And he seemed, yeah, he's great. It was so great. I hadn't seen him in 20 years, and we picked the conversation right up from where we did 20 years ago. We're talking about Kenny Rogers.
That's a hell of a callback right there. I could say I'd like to know that part.
He remembered. I remembered, of course, because I had just met Eddie Vedder, and I was telling him about Ruby Don't Take Your Love to Town. He'd never heard about this sad story. And then we talked about how he said, well, I went home and I looked it up after we talked about it, and he remembered.
Which of course ended up on Sawdust. See, you're bringing it all back to Sawdust right here for me. I love the new single. I really, really do. Your Side of Town is so good. And I cannot wait to hear what's next from you. I'm always such a fan. And Brandon, seriously, it's been so great to talk to you again. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you. Thanks.
And we'll be right back right after this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, welcome to Kyle Meredith with Consequence, where we check out some cool new things happening on the Consequence Podcast Network. I'm Kyle Meredith, and today I get to talk to Ann Erickson, host of our new Consequence podcast, Beyond the Boys Club.
Hey, Kyle.
And congratulations on Beyond the Boys Club. Well, what can you tell us about it?
4 years ago, I started a column published on Consequence called Beyond the Boys Club. The goal was to spotlight the women making a name for themselves in rock and metal. All these artists share their passion for music and their stories of breaking barriers as women in the music industry. This fall, we're taking the conversation further in the Beyond the Boys Club podcast. The interview series will welcome amazing female and non-binary artists from across the genre spectrum to share their stories and triumphs as they follow the beat of their own drum and shake up the scene.
That sounds awesome. I can't wait to check it out. And we should all check it out because Beyond the Boys Club arrives twice monthly on Tuesdays, wherever you get your podcasts. Great talking with you, Anne.
Thanks, Kyle.
A big thanks to Brandon right there. It actually been a few years since he'd been on my show. I was looking back 2017 when the Killers released Wonderful, Wonderful. We actually got to catch up, as I mentioned, around that time. And I thought I'd go ahead and include that conversation here, too. It was a fun one as we got to talk about compassion, empathy, boxing, a lot about boxing, how he would have preferred his solo records to have been in the Killers catalog. So here's part two. Kyle Meredith with Brandon Flowers.
Oh, thanks.
You know, I've only been able to hear a few of the songs on this record, and I've read some interviews that you've been talking about it, but although these two words might be the broad strokes, I've heard you talk about this record kind of being broken down to about empathy and compassion.
I think it's my vision or my version of what masculinity, I guess, or what it is to be a man has changed so much from when I was 22 and, you know, starting the Killers to now on our fifth record. I'm 36. And I think that I really wanted to explore that and what was going on in my life with this record. And I, in the past, have been a little bit more guarded about those things and my family and things like that. And I don't know, I just felt like now is the time to really dive in.
And as personal as it might be, I see you talking about the bigger picture things. I mean, even in the second single with Run for Cover, you know, just mentioning redemption song says a lot, but then there is the term fake news, and I think you say, and he's famous, and I'm thinking, are we talking about what I think we're talking about here?
This is one of Run for Cover is a funny song because it's almost 9 years old, and so it's weird to write a song and then sort of have it almost be prophetic, where these things start to fit into the song, and it's kind of an incredible thing to be a part of. But it wasn't when I started it, Donald Trump wasn't running for president yet.
but it was like half that song was written later. Was that still before all of that happened?
It was after it. It was the first verse is, you know, 9 years old. The choruses are 9 years old. And then the second verse is fairly new, yeah.
But then you get, and I'll go back to what you were talking about with that, you know, what it means to be a man. And I'll bring up the song The Man. Like, I've always been curious about that with you, because especially in that song, but there are moments in the past where I could never tell if it was you or maybe, you know, the embodiment of a rock star character, where there was this bravado and how natural or not that came to you, because, you know, it's always been fun watching you as a front man to do that. But is that a natural thing for you, or was that more of, you know, a Bowie style Ziggy, what I have to do?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of all there's I'm sort of all of that. It was just a mess when we first started. I just wasn't quite prepared. You know, I was 23, I think, 22, 23. And when the first album came out, and it was just a lot. You know, it was so successful, and I'm thankful for it. I'm really proud of the songs. But I sort of started to develop this persona that I thought I was supposed to have. And it really wasn't me. And I wasn't very good at it. You know, there are people that are really good at it. And I realized that as the years went by, it just sort of got chipped away at, and I'm slowly becoming, I think, myself. And that's really what I wanted to inhabit on this record and try to explore.
Yet, I will say, on the side of masculinity, and maybe it's a Vegas thing, but a lot of boxing references on here, not just Sonny Liston, but also, you know, the Mike Tyson fight, the lines, kiss the ring and carry the crown. I don't know. Is that,
there's,
you know,
another one too. Yeah. There's another one on Rut. But yeah, no, I mean, I grew up watching Tuesday Night Fights with my dad on USA. Remember that?
Right.
And there's just a real, it's such a romantic thing still at least in my family, the boxing, you know, myth, and being from Las Vegas, it was a big, you know, it was always around us. My grandma Sue worked at the Golden Nugget and, you know, had stories about Muhammad Ali. And my dad once he was working at a grocery store and he met Sonny Liston, and he still talks about how big Sonny's hands were, you know, when he shook his hand. And Mike Tyson was, you know, you would see Mike Tyson at the movies sometimes. I mean, it was just like, it's just kind of always been a part of my life.
You know, with the time in between, there were solo records. And I don't know if that just scratched the itch, if that allowed you to, you know, the band, I know, needed sort of time to get away from each other. But when you look at those songs, is there any feeling like that you wish they could have been killer songs and maybe just part of the direct legacy? Or are you happy with them standing outside?
Yeah, no, for sure. No, I wish you were talking to me about my eighth Killers record right now. You know, that's what, not my fifth. We just, you know, we got to make everybody happy in the band, and some people need long breaks. And there are more than a couple of my solo songs that would have been fantastic killer songs, you know. And I miss playing them, you know. I mean, a song like Crossfire from the first record, and on the new record, Lonely Town is like one of my favorite songs that I've been a part of, and I wish that it was, you know, a staple in the Killer set, but it just isn't.
Yeah. You know, you have the power to do that. You can introduce those songs right in. I mean,
it could happen. Yeah. It's a touchy subject, but it could happen.
You'd had to bring Ronnie's solo songs in too, though, I guess. And those are great too. I was a big fan of those records as well. So,
yeah, I don't know. I can't drum. So there'd be no, I don't know how we'd swap positions.
I guess it'd be entertaining anyway to watch it all happen. I'll close out by throwing the question back on you. Although I haven't heard the song, have all the songs been written? Do you find it difficult these days to find the new idea?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it is. It's. I think they damn near might have been all written. It's close. There's been a lot of greatness, and I'm very aware of that now, and so it's tough, and I myself have been a part of some great songs, and I'm thankful to be a part of it, but you take all that with you, and it's kind of like hovering over you when you go in to write a new record, you know, and it can sometimes weigh you down quite a bit, but I was able to, you know, make my way through it and come out on the other side, and I'm excited about this record.
Yeah, well, so am I, and you know, as a fan, we invest in a band and we are hopeful. And I think everybody's always nervous before the new record, like, oh God, I hope this is good. Is there other stuff, you know, the stuff that you've connected to? And thank God I love this record so much. And I'm just grateful you guys are still doing this at the level you're doing it. So thank you, Brandon.
Oh, thank you.
And my thanks to Brandon Flowers. Looking forward to that new Best Of compilation. Thanks to you, of course, for checking out the episode and the series. Please do hit that subscribe button before you head out of here so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out. 3 new interviews every single week. That's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at all the usual spots like Spotify and Apple Podcasts, at NPRWFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith with. After that, head over to WFPK.org. So I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. 4 hours of classics from the 70s and 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There's bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows had the music of Elton John, David Bowie, Fiona Apple, Mazzy Star, The Cardigans, Garbage, Bell and Sebastian, Shout Out Louds, The Wonder Stuff, Death Cab for Cutie, Cake, Mellencamp, Rachel Yamagata, The Afghan Whigs, Coheed and Cambria, Yola Tango, and Primus, as well as my interview with Jerry Harrison from Talking Heads. Again, just an example of what you get when you tune in 6 p.m. Eastern every weeknight at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also catch me on the old social media sites. The address is always the same, at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time. Consequence Podcast Network.
I'm stuck in 2005.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.